over the last 2,000 years. Many leaders, gurus, and prophets have come and gone. Countless have been forgotten and even erased from history. As time proved their messages and teachings to be short-lived and empty. A handful of them had enough staying power to still be relevant in our culture today. And now, we call them religions. All these heavyweights included Jesus in their religious teachings and claim him as a centerpiece of what they believe. What happens when they go toe-to-toe with the teachings of Jesus himself? Who will be left standing when the final bell rings?
Mormonism is one of, in fact, it may be the fastest growing religion in the world today. It's growing by leaps and bounds, and in reality, one of the largest groups of people who are converting to Mormonism are Catholics and Christians. People that are, even grew up in that particular faith and that particular understanding of Bible and Bible doctrine. And yet there's been this mass conversion that's taken place into the religion of Mormonism. So it's really important, especially in our day today, as we see that and we recognize that, to understand what we believe or what really the Bible teaches. That's really more important than what we believe, because we can come up with some really crackpot beliefs if we're left to ourselves, because we tend to make things and we tend to make rules that benefit us. And in fact, that's really the history of mankind when it comes to religion. It's all about trying to either make ourselves become more like God, right? So we're going to make ourselves become more like God. And so, or the other is we're going to try to bring God down to our level. Because if we're really honest about it, if we look at the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible is scary. The God of the Bible is all-powerful. There is nothing beyond his ability to do. The God of the Bible is all-knowing. He knows everything that has happened, everything that is currently happening, everything that will happen, and every potential possibility of things that could happen. And he knows it specifically about you and your life. Those secrets that no one knows about, he knows. That's terrifying, is it not? You're like, okay, yes, God, I love you. Really, don't strike me down. Because that's what we think God is like, because God is all-powerful, right? Well, God's all-powerful, and God's all-knowing, and God's all-present everywhere all the time. He is not a man. He's not a physical body. The Bible says that God is spirit, and he is in all places at all times. He's everywhere. He is here in this moment. He is here with you when you go home. He's here with you in your car when you're driving behind that little old lady that has her blinker on for 17 miles. And she's going 7 miles under the speed limit on a one-way road that you can't get around her. You know, he's with you all the time. And that's terrifying. If we're honest about it, that's scary. So what religion loves to do is either make us feel like we can become like God or brings God down to our level. You look at Greek mythology and Roman mythology and all that stuff. That's all about that, right? These gods that have temper tantrums and they have affairs and they make mistakes and all this stuff. It's bringing God down more like us. But then also you look at the other side of it and you see these heroes in mythology that they became like gods. And so we see that dynamic taking place. And that's really reality here in the Mormon religion. The big idea today is this: Mormonism teaches that Jesus was once just like us. Mormonism teaches that Jesus was once just like you and me. He was just a human being. There was nothing special or unique or dynamic about it. He was just like you. He was just like me. And if we are good enough, we can become just like him. If we're good enough, we can become just like him. And so you see, really, Mormonism takes those two dynamics of trying to make God, bring God down to our level, and also trying to build us to become more like God. It takes those two dynamics and combines them together in really a unique and creative package. That God was once just like you and I, and we, if we are good enough, can become just like God. We can become just like Jesus Christ. We can do the things that he did. We can have the power and the authority and do the miracles and everything just like he did if we are good enough. But of course, you have to ask the question, who is determining what's good enough? Right? Because if any households are like our households, there is dad's way of cleaning, right? And then there's mom's way of cleaning. Is it that way in anyone else's household? I'm just curious. Is it just okay, good. I just want to make sure. I'm not saying which one is right. But if you have children and, like, you know, you're the dad and you clean kind of like I do, it's like, hey, if you can't, like, you don't have to move it to clean it. Just clean around it, right? Yeah, that's but then mom walks in and picks it up. Is like, there's like dead animals underneath this thing. When's the last time you dusted this, right? Because there's different levels. Who determines what's good enough? Well, the Bible says that God is determining what's good enough. And God says perfection is what's required. And we all fall short. But let's look at this. In the book of teachings of prophet. So just really quickly, if you don't have a background or understanding at all in the Mormonism, there are several different books that they kind of say are their religious understanding, their doctrine. Okay, there's the Book of Mormon, then there's the doctrines doctrines and teachings, and then there's the teachings of Joseph Smith. So like these three books kind of all work together. And there's a lot of other little ones, but those are kind of the three foundational pieces. So if you go, what do they believe? You got to go back to those things. And so if we look in the teachings of Joseph Smith, on pages 34, 345, and 37, it says this. This is Joseph Smith, who was the founder of the Mormon Church. God himself, this is not Jesus Christ, this is God the Father he's referring to. God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man or human being. We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity, and I will refute that idea. I will preach on the plurality of gods. So according to Joseph Smith, the Mormons teach that God the Father, not just Jesus Christ, but God the Father was once just like us. But he was good enough, he became good enough that he became deified and he became a God himself. Now, of course, the trap of that is, where did he originally come from? And that's always the trap. That's the trap of evolution. Well, this caused this. Okay, what caused that? Well, this caused this. You have to always come back to a starting point of something. Something had to not be created, right? And so the Mormon religion teaches this, and if you're familiar at all with philosophy or anything like that, you're going to be right with me. If you're not, you're going to be like, what? Okay, so basically it says Joseph Smith taught that there are many gods, thousands upon thousands of gods, and that each of these gods have celestial wives, and they constantly procreate. And these gods are constantly having spirit children, and the spirit children become human beings. And the best of those spirit kids become gods in their own right, and they, in turn, can create their own universe with their own earth and have their own spirit children who eventually, you know, continue to do that. And so the concept that they teach is what's called the multiverse, right? That there are universes upon universes upon universes upon universes upon universes upon universes, and every universe has its own God the Father. And that God the Father came from another God, and that God came from another God, from another God, from another God, from another God, and there's eventually some big bad God out there who is the grandfather of all gods. That's kind of how it works. So according to Joseph Smith, God the Father was once a spirit child of another God in another universe. But he attained godhood himself, created his own earth, and had spirit children of his own, and all of humanity, from time beginning to time ending, are God's spirit children. And if we are good enough, we too can become gods by following the rules set down by Prophet Joseph Smith. So he is the one now that determines whether or not we are good enough. Here's the problem just at the outset. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says this. There may be so-called gods, both in heaven and earth, and some people actually worship many gods and many lords. But for us, there is one God, and the Father, by whom all things were created, and for whom we live. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. Now, it's pretty hard to say that the Book of Mormon, the teachings of Joseph Smith, and the doctrines and the relevance, and all of those things, really, they just parallel with the Bible when there is a verse that is so simply saying, not the case. That's not what this teaches. But let's continue to look through it because I think it's important to look at some of the specific details, okay? So Mormonism says that Jesus was created, that Jesus was a spirit child. In fact, he was the firstborn spirit child of God the Father. So he was a human being just like us. However, here's the problem with that. If we look at the words of Jesus Christ, whereas Mormonism says that Jesus was created, Jesus himself says, I am the creator. I'm the one that created it all. I'm not the created, I am the creator. Look at this. The first two of God's spirit children, according to the Book of Mormon, were two individuals. There's Jesus Christ, and then there's a guy named Lucifer. If you've read your Bible at all, you're probably familiar with that name. Lucifer, according to the Bible, was the highest of the angels. He was an archangel over all the other archangels. And Lucifer, in his egotism, in his pride, thought to himself that he was powerful enough to overthrow God the Father, his creator. He attempted to do that. He clearly failed. And the Bible says that he took one-third of all the angels because they followed him. And now that is what we know as Satan, the devil, and his demons or his minions or whatever. And we're not talking about like Despicable Me, cute little blah, 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 minions. We're talking about like bad dude type things, okay? And so that's what the Bible teaches. So what we have to look at here is what the Book of Mormon teaches compared to that. So if we look at the Book of Mormon in the Book of Abraham, chapter 3, verses 27 and 28, there's a dialogue, there's a conversation that's taking place. And we don't have time to put it all in there, but if you really want to, you can look it up. And basically, chapter 3 begins with God musing about what way he's going to set up the process for his spirit children to become gods like him. What is he going to do? And he's going through these processes and he's having these conversations with his two eldest, Jesus Christ and Lucifer. And so in this process, they're having this conversation and God the Father says, well, I need to send somebody, and that's where we pick it up. In verse 27, and the Lord God said, whom shall I send? And one answered, likened to the Son of Man, that's Jesus, here am I, send me. And another, being Lucifer, answered and said, here am I, send me. So the two oldest brothers, the two oldest spirit children, have a conversation with God the Father. They both say, send me. And Jesus, and the Lord says, I will send the first, Jesus Christ. So it goes, both brothers show up, and he says, listen, I'm going to send Jesus. Lucifer, sorry, second place, I'm going to send Jesus. And the second, Lucifer, was angry and kept not his first estate. And at that day, many followed after him. So the Bible teaches that Lucifer was a created being and rejected his estate, his first account. And so the Book of Mormon tries to parallel those two things, but it says that Jesus himself was also created. John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says this. All things were created through him, Jesus Christ. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. John says, listen, the reality is, not only is Jesus Christ not created, but he is the creator himself. And in fact, there is nothing in this world that has been created that did not pass through his hands. God is the agent, the superintendent, if you will, of creation. But Jesus Christ was the one that the Bible says created, sustains, and holds all things together. So Mormonism teaches that Jesus Christ was another created being, was just a human being like us. But yet the Bible says, no. Mormonism says that we can become gods. If we're good enough, every time I hear that phrase, Saturday Night Live, like 30 years ago, there was a counselor on there. His name was Stuart Smalley. You ever remember that? Anyone remember that? You know, he'd look in the mirror and he'd go, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, and daggone it, people like me. And I always think of that. I don't know why, but I always think of that when I hear this phrase, if we're good enough. But Mormonism says we can become gods, but Jesus says there's only one God. There's not multiple gods. There's not multiple universes of gods. There's not multiple gods that have gods. You cannot become a god. There is one God. That's it. In the Doctrines of Salvation, the Book of Mormon says this, mortality is the testing or proving ground for exaltation to find out who among the children of God are worthy to become gods themselves. And the Lord has informed us that few there be that find it. In other words, only a few of us are good enough to become gods. And of course, that all comes down to the Joseph Smith. John chapter 17, verses 3 through 5, however, Jesus Christ is talking, he says this, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one who you sent to earth. I brought you glory here on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, and this is very important, the wording here is very important. Now, Father, bring me into the glory that we shared. How's it end? Before the world even began. Jesus Christ is not a created being, and Jesus Christ makes it very clear that there is only one God, of which he is a part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's no question what Jesus Christ is attempting or really communicating at this point. Mormonism says that we can become gods. Jesus says there is only one God. Mormonism says that Jesus was created. Jesus says, I am the creator. Mormonism says salvation is through Joseph Smith. Jesus says, I am the way. In the Journal of Discourses, which is a book written by Brigham Young after the death of Joseph Smith, and Brigham Young, if you're not familiar, Brigham Young University was named after him. Outside of Joseph Smith, he's probably the most well-known, the most decorated, if you will, of Mormon leaders. And in the Journal of Discourses, he writes this, no man or woman in this dispensation will ever enter the celestial kingdom of God without the consent of Joseph Smith. Every man and woman must have the certificate of Joseph Smith Jr., make sure that everyone knows that, as a passport to their entrance. The Mormon religion teaches that salvation, and they'll say this, salvation is through Jesus Christ. However, before you can get to Jesus Christ, you've got to go through the teachings of Joseph Smith. However, the Bible says this. It's not just the Bible. I mean, that would be good enough. But this is specifically Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. I have had many, 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 and here's the thing, I want to be really clear about this, because this is not like ammunition to go into work tomorrow and find all those LDS people. No, 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 no. No. This is so that you can understand what is being taught, what is being communicated for two purposes. So that when you hear something that sounds good and it sounds like it might be right, you will know the truth. And you will go, hang on a second. I remember that this is what was taught. Don't you teach this? Well, yeah, but we don't talk about that much. That should be a red flag. That should really be a red flag. When they say, well, yeah, we believe that, but we don't talk about it that much, or we don't say it that way, that should be a red flag. So it's more so for you to understand, but also secondly, because the Mormon faith has grown so significantly, the reality is you probably know somebody. You probably have a friend or a colleague or a family member that is a part of this. And I'll be honest with you, having multiple conversations, they stopped coming to our house a while back. But having multiple conversations, it's amazing when you start going, hang on a second. You say you believe the Bible, but the Bible says this. You say that the Book of Mormon and the Bible work together, but they don't agree. In fact, if you look at the Book of Mormon and the Journal of Discourses and the teachings of Joseph Smith and the teachings of Brigham Young, even those four don't agree with each other all the time. They contradict each other constantly. So how can that be true? My favorite verse is to go to John chapter 1. And it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was same in the beginning as God. They go, no. The definitive article A was left out of there. He was a God. It's not there. He was God. God in the flesh came down to show us what God the Father was like. You see, the reality is that there are a lot of people that buy in at the beginning and how it's taught, that it sounds really good, that it's very tempting, and then once you get in, you get trapped. And so really this is not just for you to understand, but for you to potentially have conversations that set people free too. Because Jesus Christ says that when you know the truth will what? It'll set you free. Religion, no matter what kind, is all about trying to dictate to you how you're supposed to live good enough for God to love you. But God's not only all-powerful, He's not only all-knowing, He's not only all everywhere all the time. The Bible says that God is love. That we know what love is because of God. You see, when we start trying to create things that sound good to us, and we try to make ourselves appear better in the eyes of God, or we try to bring God down so that we can more easily attain it, we've taken out the deity, the awesomeness, the amazingness that is God. Is it scary sometimes? Yeah. You ever just stopped and thought about God? It's like, whoa. You ever thought what this world would be like if God was just like you? Just think about that for a second. I, for one, am so thankful that God is not like me. Everybody apparently would be redheads and laughing at me if that were the case. But you know what? When we attempt to dumb down the reality of God, He ceases to be God. It's just a construct that we've created to make ourselves feel good. And feeling good doesn't gain you a relationship with the God of the universe. Feeling good doesn't get you to a point where you can literally sit down in a moment of anguish, joy, frustration, overwhelming, and say, Father, this is what's going on. So this morning, maybe this is the first time it's kind of been broken down like that for you. And you go, man, for the first time in my life, this understanding of who Jesus Christ is clicks. It makes sense. I would invite you today to take that step of faith and just say yes to accepting Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are all sinners. The Bible says that none of us can achieve God or godness or goodness apart from Jesus Christ. but that yet Jesus Christ, being God in the flesh, 100% God and 100% man, gave his life in payment for your failures and your mistakes, your flaws, and he paid the price. And when Jesus Christ said the three most powerful words that have ever been recorded, "It is finished," it was. And your past and your failure and your mistakes were paid for. But that payment doesn't become effective until you accept Jesus. So in the quietness of this moment, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? And if this morning you know that you need to make that decision, you know that you need to make that choice to embrace Jesus Christ, would you just pray in the quietness of this room this morning something like this in your heart and in your mind? Dear God, I've been struggling my whole life trying to figure this out. And this morning, it all clicked. God, I pray that you would help me more fully understand. But today, I make the choice to accept Jesus Christ. I don't understand it all, but I know this. I know he died in my place. For those this morning, Father, that have already taken that step of faith, who know your Son, Jesus Christ, but God, maybe in this moment, as we've gone through these things, they've realized that they've allowed some things to maybe get away from them. Maybe the awesomeness of who you are has slipped and they've become a little commonplace, a little just complacent. God, I pray that the truth of your word this morning would stir an excitement and a joy, an energy in their heart to want to know you more. That God, although we on this side of heaven, we'll never fully understand who you are, we actually celebrate that because that means you are something beyond our ability to comprehend. Yeah, it's scary sometimes. But God, we know your heart. And your heart says you love us. And that everything that happens is for your glory and for our benefit. And so, Father, we pray in this moment that we wouldn't forget that, but that we would revel in it. And, Father, I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.